Hare Krishna, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam,
reading from Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 18, and we read also Text 19. Text 18, we read only the translation. Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow. Very much distressed, with tears in her eyes, she appeared before Lord Brahma and told him about her misfortune.
Brahma tad upadaryata sahadevaistaya saha jagamasatri nayanas tiram kshira payonide. Brahma, Lord Brahma, tad upadarya, understanding everything rightly. Ata, thereafter. Saha, with. Devai, the demigods. Taya saha, with Mother Earth. Jagama, approached. Satri Nayanaha, with Lord Shiva, who has three eyes. Tiram, the shore. Kshirapayanide, of the ocean of milk. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma, with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva and all the other demigods, approached the shore of the ocean of milk. Purport. After Lord Brahma understood the precarious condition of the earth, he first visited the demigods headed by Lord Indra, who are in charge of the various affairs of the universe, and Lord Shiva, who is responsible for annihilation. Both maintenance and annihilation go on perpetually under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. Those who are obedient to the laws of God are protected by different servants and demigods, whereas those who are undesirable are vanquished by Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma first met all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, then along with Mother Earth, they went to the shore of the ocean of milk, where Lord Vishnu lies on a white island, Shvetvadvip. Here we have the classical story of the demigods. Sometimes the demigods get in trouble, and the difference between sometimes the demigods also do some stupid things. But the difference is that the demigods, when they get in trouble, they go to Lord Vishnu for protection. So that's the classical thing. Whenever the demons have too much power, the demigods go to Lord Brahma. If Lord Brahma can't solve it, they go together with Lord Brahma to Lord Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada in the purport quotes this famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, which says mostly that Krishna has, when he comes to the material world, he has three purposes. One is to give pleasure to the devotees, and apparently this is the most important. And the other is to destroy the demoniac culture. Krishna is not all love. And the third purpose is to reestablish Dharma, to make it very clear what's Dharma, what's not Dharma, what's religious, what's not religious, what's to be done and what's not to be done. Krishna is not, as I said many times before, it's not. He's not all love. He's not, this is good and that is also good, and it's all good. It's all love. Like you hear this
nowadays very popular gurus. It's all love. Krishna is very like, okay, this is love and this is not love. Okay.
As quoted on Friday when we spoke about Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is saying, which is very much in line with the purposes for Krishna's appearance, he's saying that we should do positive preaching, like expanding our philosophy, but we should also criticize other philosophy. And he says, I'll just quote this again, because it's really, you know, sometimes even for devotees, we're like, for people who come, they are like, why they are criticizing? Why so much criticizing, you know, like criticizing this? And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says, the negative method which seeks to differentiate the truth from non-truth. That's the whole point. You know, like you have to say, this is truth, this is non-truth. This is our philosophy, this is not our philosophy. And you have to make it very clear. And he says, the negative method which seeks to differentiate the truth from non-truth in all its form is even better calculated to convey the directly inconceivable significance of the absolute truth. It is a necessity which cannot be avoided by the dedicated preacher of the truth if he wants to be a loyal servant of God. So he said, yes, okay, of course, it's nice to have the positive preaching, but it's really important. It's very, very important to tell. It's very practical. Many, many times you meet. And you have to tell devotees, look, this is not good. Or aspiring devotees or people who come, this is good, this is not good. Oh, I'm following this guru. Okay, that's very nice, but what's his parampara? Well, he doesn't have any. Where does he get his teachings? No, what shastra is he following? Well, he doesn't have any. Well, then probably he's a rascal. I mean, people are attached. You don't use these words, you know, like when they are attached to some guru, you have to be like. But in nice words, you can say, you can tell them this. What's he following? He's not following anything. Waste of time. So it's really important to spread spiritual culture and at the same time criticize. You know, like what's not culture. Of course, we have to do it in an intelligent way. We don't go in front of a parliament and say, ah, you are all rascals, which we might think. But we have to do it in an intelligent way. But it's important to say what's spiritual culture and what's not. Because so-called spiritual culture is so much, it's everywhere nowadays. So you have to criticize a bit. That's Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was very known for his talk, criticizing very strongly these different the Mayavadis and of course these different deviations from Vaishnavism, caste Goswamis, caste Brahmanas, and so on. And because it's the duty of the preacher to do so. And I quoted last time about this famous Dr. Patel, who was, he had this idea that all we have to respect all the sadhus. And then the answer of Srila Prabhupada to this is, yes, yes, your duty is to respect all the sadhus, and my duty is to say who's a sadhu and who is not. Simple. And you can say, okay, that's only them, you know. But also, Lord Chaitanya was also very attentive to philosophical deviations. He was very liberal, but whenever there was a little contamination, he would be very like, oh, yuck, you know, like he had Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was, if anyone wanted to
wrote a song or something, and he wanted to present before Lord Chaitanya, they had to pass by Svarup Damodar Goswami. So it was like Lord Chaitanya wouldn't hear anything, you know, like check Lord Svarup Damodar Goswami. And if they passed, if Svarup Damodar Goswami approved, then they could go in front of Lord Chaitanya and present, oh, I wrote this poem about Krishna. Oh, very nice, very nice. And if there was a bit of contamination, Lord Chaitanya would not tolerate it. He would become very angry. What's this stupid thing? And there's this incident described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that once Bhagavan Acharya came with a young poet who wrote something about Lord, who wrote a drama actually about Lord Chaitanya. So Bhagavan Acharya was very impressed with this drama, and he came to Svarup Damodar, and Svarup Damodar said, yeah, you're very liberal, you like to hear anything. No, this is really well written. Okay. And after, you know, like he insisted, okay. Svarup Damodar said, look, he has to follow if you want to write drama, he has to follow some principles, and these principles, and that principle, and that principle. There's some rules. You don't do anything. And eventually he says, okay, let's hear it. Let's see. And then this poet came, and Svarup Damodar says, okay, let's start with the introductory. Apparently in the dramas they have some introductory part where they say, like, I don't know. And so he said something, you know, like, and everyone was, it sounded very nicely, you know, like it sounded quite nice. And everyone there was, they were looking like, yo, this is very nice, this is amazing, you know, like. And then Svarup Damodar said, okay, maybe you can explain what you mean here. And the poet said, yes, well, it's like this, and like this, and like this. And everyone was like, wow, yes, this is amazing. And then Svarup Damodar says, you are a fool. Svarup Damodar was more philosophically cultured. He was very, very strict. He said, you are a fool. You have brought ill fortune upon yourself, for you have no knowledge. He was very strict, you know, like very, very tough on this Brahmana. Because, and then he pointed out a few philosophical discrepancies. You know, like some Mayavada tendencies and something. Just one verse. He just put the introductory part of the drama. You know, like he said one verse, and Svarup Damodar just smashed him. You know, like said, this is not good, this is not good, this is not good, this is not good. Very. So it's very important, you know, to understand, to have a clear understanding of philosophy, because sometimes the contaminations might not be so gross, you know, like. And we should really be very clear what's bona fide and what's not. And we should develop this sensitivity, you know, like with time we should develop this sensitivity. Like Lord Chaitanya, immediately he would detect some, oh, this is some tinge of Mayavada here. And Svarup Damodar immediately, when he heard this drama, said, yes, there's this contamination, there's this contamination. And we should really become so philosophically advanced that we get this. Maybe not on that level, but that we understand, oh, this is good and this is not good. This is our philosophy, this is not our philosophy. It's very, very important. We should really know very well, because if you want to spread Prabhupada's teachings, you should be very clear what's in Prabhupada's teachings and what's not, at least for ourselves. If you
So that's that makes it very important to study the books and to study the philosophy very, 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 very clear. Because, like in this example, everyone was very happy, you know, like they heard this drama. They said, "Wow, this is so nice." And Svarup Damodar said, "No, no, no, this is not it. This doesn't match our philosophy." So we should be on that level that we understand. Oh, this is not our philosophy. One more example. I was reading yesterday a bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Krishnadas Kaviraja explains how he got to write eventually this Chaitanya Charitamrita, how he got the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and he had a brother, and they had someone visit them who was a devotee of Lord Nityananda, and his brother was somehow a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and didn't have any faith in Lord Nityananda. So he was like, and Krishnadas Kaviraj was criticizing his brother. He says, "These two brothers are like one body. They are identical manifestation. If you don't believe in Lord Nityananda, you'll fall down." And he's even stricter. He says, "It would be better to be an atheist by slighting both brothers than a hypocrite by believing in one and slighting the other." So again, you know, like very, very small tinge of philosophical. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that because of this, he detected this and he chastised his brother. He gets the mercy of Lord Nityananda. He says, "That night, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality in chastising my brother." That was his qualification. He didn't tolerate this. Oh, this is crazy philosophy. Just a side note. It's quite important to be attentive to details of philosophy. We'll go back to that again. Because the idea is that we should understand this culture. We should not. It's not that we should only understand it theoretically. We should also apply it. Like sometimes people they read our books, and they are very impressed. Oh, this is so nice. And then sometimes they come to our temples, and they see, well, there's the books say something, and what we see in the temples is like, oh my God, you know, like. I mean, sometimes it's their perception, sometimes it's really true. So we have to be really attentive that we also apply what's in the books, not just, I'm speaking high philosophy, but my behavior doesn't match the philosophy. And of course, we should think how to spread this knowledge. Srila Prabhupada, he was not thinking, we'll save 10 people, they will live in a temple, and we have maybe another, how many, maybe 100 devotees in Slovenia living outside. And he was like, "That's good, it's good enough." No, he was thinking really big. He was thinking, okay, you have to flood the world, the whole world in Krishna consciousness. And then Lord Chaitanya had this vision that Krishna consciousness will be there in every town and village. So we should think in line with that vision, not that, oh my God, there's 10 devotees, it's good. It's good, there's preaching, we're preaching, it's good. We should be a bit unhappy that we don't have more. And this is the bad news, and the even worse news, or worse, is that we should be the tools for doing that. That we should not be. We should think how to have more devotees. You know, I heard in the 90s there were 80 devotees living here. So apparently there's enough space for 80 devotees, so we just have to bring them in. 65, okay, only 65. Good, so 65 devotees were living in the temple. So we have some way to go until then. And then when 70 want to live here, or 80, we will probably find some solution, like get another building somewhere. We have a tent. See, Uddhava Mitra found the solution. And so we should do something about it. This is sometimes it's thought that, oh, this is the duty of the preachers. We have some preacher. We have a few preachers in Slovenia, so it's their duty. They should do it. And then also we have some Sankirtan devotees. They will go there. They will distribute a book, and people will read the books, and they will automatically join the temple. They will read the book, and then they will knock on the door, on the temple door, and then they're like, oh, hello, I'm chanting 16 rounds already, I'm following these principles, and I heard that's also important to do some service, I'm here, how can I serve? That's not usually how it happens. Of course, Sankirtan is really important. I mean, it's important that it changes the consciousness of the whole society. And sometimes people really do come to the temple door and say, I'm chanting 16 rounds. But that's quite rare. And I want to become a devotee and I want to move to the temple. That's quite rare. Generally, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of training. Even these ripe fruits, you know, like you meet these ripe fruits. These ripe fruits, you have to invest a lot of energy into them. You have to put a lot of training into them. These people that are convinced, they are coming and they are convinced. You have to train them, you have to invest a lot of energy. As they say, it takes one village to raise a child. So similar with one new devotee. It takes one temple to raise one new devotee. I mean, sometimes it can be done by a few, but yeah, it takes a lot of effort. And Prabhupada would say that it takes pounds and gallons of blood to make one devotee. So it gives you a dimension that there's some effort that you have to put there. And there's usually no easy formula, no shortcuts, yeah, no magic wand. And like, oh, okay, so we should be aware of this, and we should do whatever effort is needed to make new devotees. This should be the purpose of a temple. Like this is a. This is a temple in a big city. Like temples in the big cities, in the cities are not farms. They're not meant for simple living, high thinking. Like we're plowing the land, we have some cows, and we live here peacefully. I mean, nowadays even farms are preaching projects, actually. But it's not meant for this. It's meant to bring people in. Because, anyway, there's no... why would you want to live in a city? There's sometimes people would say, oh, this city is very nice. But maybe it's nicer than other cities, but it's a city, you know, like, it's polluted, it's crazy, you know. Like, why would you want to live in a city? So the only reason to live in a city is to preach. That in the city, there's in Ljubljana, there are like 300,000 people, and with the people who are coming every day to work or to school, it's like 500,000, something like this. So that's the only reason why we're in Ljubljana, otherwise. that these people who come to Ljubljana may come somewhere, and then they come and then they can get trained in spiritual culture. Otherwise, there's no point. And we should really be inspired by examples of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, who are constantly preaching. Their whole life was preaching. I gave this example on Friday. Really nice for me that this Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was very close to departing from this world, and this doctor came and told him, "You should rest more, you should not speak so much." And what did Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj do? He was preaching a few hours to this doctor. Like, what are you doing with your life? You are a spirit soul, you're wasting your time, you know, like few hours, you know, like, and then he was saying, like, if I can't preach, what's the point, you know, like, what do I have to do here if I can't preach? No, I'm here to preach, otherwise there's no point in being here. Also, Srila Prabhupada, you see this, sometimes there's this recording of Srila Prabhupada on his bed before his departure. And he's dictating Srimad Bhagavatam. You seen this? You have to see it. Srila Prabhupada is like 40 kilos or something, and he's barely speaking. And he's on his back, and he's barely speaking. And he's dictating Bhagavatam. Yeah, because what's the point? You know, like these great souls, they come here to follow the mission of Krishna, and the mission of Krishna is to preach. So if they will preach, and then they will go. You know, like sometimes they would try to restrict Prabhupada, and he would say that I want to die like Arjuna in a battle, not on a sick bed. Like, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. I will go out and preach, and if there's something happening, what to do? So we should have this consciousness, and we should really think all the time how to spread this message of Krishna. And of course, this needs some guidance. This means some organizations. This means that. Preaching means preaching directly or supporting the preaching. It doesn't mean that everyone will preach. Sometimes for some devotees it's better not to preach. But the idea is to support to preach or support the preaching, and think how to have this consciousness. I'll just tell you a brief story. I found it on Facebook yesterday. Navadvip Chandra Prabhu put it. You saw it, huh? Yeah. So it says that JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, was walking around NASA. He went to NASA headquarters, and it was late, you know, like it was after the closing time. And he found this janitor, cleaning person. He was just cleaning there. And he was mopping the floor, and he was on the corridors, he was mopping, and he was like, JFK went to him and asked him, "Why are you working so late?" He asked. And you know, for most people, he would say, okay, I mean, what he was doing? He was mopping the floor, so whatever, you know, like there's people who are doing serious things here in NASA, and this guy's just mopping the floor. And the janitor stood straight a bit, like he looked him in the eyes, and he said, "Mr. President, I'm helping put a man on the moon." Very high consciousness this janitor had, you know, like, I mean, of course, you have this... Yes, so very, very high consciousness this person had. Of course, you know, like you can think, there's many distractions. Did they go on the moon? Did they not go? You know, that's discussable. You know, like of course, but the consciousness this guy had is something we can learn from. You know, like that. What are you doing here? I'm washing the dishes. No, I'm helping Lord Chaitanya's movement. Yeah. I'm just mopping the temple, but I'm spreading Krishna consciousness. I'm a tool for Lord Chaitanya. And if everyone has this consciousness, then even this menial services like this, these services, actually you're understanding, this is part of a bigger picture, and this temple is I'm helping in preaching, because then on Sunday we have before Sunday feast, I will clean before Sunday feast, and when people come, they'll see it's clean, they will see the nice deities, and they will be inspired, and then they will chant Hare Krishna, and so on, so on. You see this as part of a bigger picture. You know, very, very, I mean, when I read this this story, I was like, wow, this is amazing, you know, like this is exactly what... So that's the idea, that we should have this preaching consciousness, and if we have this, then we'll see. If really everyone has this preaching consciousness, I'm pretty sure then this temple will become too small, or other temples also. Yeah. Okay, I'll stop here. If there's some questions, concerns, comments. Nataka Chandrika, maybe.
You said so many important things about our temple and things here. When you talk on a lecture, how to recognize what is proper, what is not? It was interesting to her, because I am not in charge of this kind of preaching, what is familiar, what is good, what is not. When I was distributing books, I was not so empowered to preach in that sharp way, to criticize impersonalism, do like that. But I know 10 things.
The said story, Alikai.
10 things to mention what is important, what is not, for our Krishna consciousness preaching. And of course, we need to recognize and to be conscious how to preach in that way that we can clearly explain people what is good, what is not, yeah, and not criticize others. I'm not a preacher actually, but I could see how important is it. Because it is very easy to go into the conflict after you improve somebody or criticize somebody.
Yeah, just because I will forget that there's already two ideas I want to elaborate, and then I'll forget. I'm sorry. And then I will be back. So one thing is we say we're not preachers. Everyone in this movement is a preacher. If you have a service of being in contact with people, you are. If you're in contact with people who are devotees or some new people, then it's very, very important that you know what Prabhupada wants and what he doesn't want. It's very important. Like many of the, it's not that if you chop the vegetables with someone, you're not allowed to preach to him. No, like, I mean, very serious. Many times, best preaching is there. You know, like someone comes and you're chopping the vegetables with them, and they're like, "Hi, how are you?" And then you, you put a bit, you know, like, "Oh, this, that, this," and you can tell him the whole philosophy, you know, like in. So it's not that, you know, like we're official. Oh, this, you're on the Vyasasan, you're a preacher. You have this preaching project, you are a preacher. And outside that, finish. No, you can preach. The best preaching is usually done at prasadam. If you have a new person, you give him prasadam, and while he's taking prasadam, you... just tell him our philosophy, and he cannot react because his mouth is full, so it's okay. I'm just it's half joke, but it's really, it's serious. So it's not that this person is a official preacher and this person is not a preacher, you know, like it's all a preaching. Like Lalit Govinda Prabhu is never giving class officially. Yeah, but all the time he's talking. He's catching someone. Okay, sit down and listen. See? So it's you're chopping vegetables. You're cooking with someone. You know, like you're teaching. Oh, this is this standard. There's this standard. I will teach you this. You know, like you're on an authority for someone. Okay, he's late for him. It's not good to do that. You know, like there's so many things you can do, which is preaching. So. It's not that, okay, we have three preachers and the rest, you know, like, you know, they, no. No, and there's this story with, I said last time that it's from Ramanujacharya disciples, but it's related to Narottam Das Thakur. Some person wrote on Facebook, probably it's from disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. So someone wanted to challenge Narottam Das Thakur. And philosophical challenge, you know, like he was very proud. He was like, "Oh!" And then they went there, and two disciples of Narottam Das Thakur were they heard of this, and they didn't want this guy to waste the time of Narottam Das Thakur. So they went on the way. They were coming from somewhere and to where Narottam Das Thakur was living, and they put some tents, you know, like selling this menial stuff, some pots, some incense. What I don't remember what they were selling. And then this guy stopped, and this he met these shopkeepers. You know, they had these two shopkeepers. They were so-called shopkeepers. And these shopkeepers really smashed these guys in a philosophical battle, you know. They were speaking perfect Sanskrit, and they were like, they just smashed him. And then he said, at the end, he said, who are you? Well, we actually, because you are so learned, well, we're just some stupid guys. We're disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. so when these guys, this guy heard all this, you know, like the... people who sell pot in this area of Narottam Das Thakur, they are so learned, and he just went and surrendered to Narottam Das Thakur. So we should really aim for this. I said it before, that we should really aim for this this target, that whoever, whatever service he does, but he's so learned that he can discuss philosophy with someone. I'm not saying, But sorry, Prabhu. And the second point was about criticizing. Usually, in Sankirtan, we don't criticize so much. You know, like you're like very positive energy. we do like Nityaseva Mataji's thing, like, oh, wow, you have such a positive energy. I saw you, I was there, and I saw you, and you have so much positive energy. Oh, my God, I have to give you this book. usually in Sankirtan you don't preach so much, you know, like, but it depends, you know, like Sankirtan, you can do Sankirtan on different platforms. And if you can do it as brahminical as possible, that's good, you know. Like you have, and also in Sankirtan, if you like preaching, I mean, I really like preaching, and sometimes, but you don't preach to everyone. Most of the people, you're like, oh, yoga, meditatio, dai donatio, no, Hare Krishna, because they are not ready. They are not ready to go on another level. But if someone is inquisitive and seriously wants to learn, you can tell them, you know. And sometimes, you know, even in Sankirtan, you know, because it's the same people. If they are really interested, it's the same people that you. If they would come to the temple, you would take half an hour or 15 minutes to talk to them. So if you meet these open people in Sankirtan, then why not? You know, like, and you can say always, but it's always, you know, like you have to test a bit. Oh, what's working? What's not working? Depends on the level of the connection. You know, like if he says many times, if he says, "Oh, I'm following Osho," they're like, "Yeah, oh, nice. So you're very spiritual. Yes, I can feel that." Of course you can say something positive, but usually you don't. You know, like this criticizing, it's sensitive for them. So then you have to be very attentive when you use it before you create some relationship, and you see that he's open and he can do it, and then you test. I always like to test. You know, like I say something and see how they react. And if they don't react, I change, you know, like the subject. Oh, yeah, and a nice sweater. you have to be very attentive how you do it. You know, like if someone tells you that he's attached to Sadhguru, okay, you're gonna criticize him, but it's like it's good. You never do this in writing, never. You have to do it on the phone. At least on the phone or live, that you have to see the reaction, and you put something. You say something. You say something. See how attached he is and how much he's willing to accept. Very important. So yeah, this is life. Okay. Sure. We have a microphone.
It was a good point what you discuss. My humble experience only is that strong words are meant for devotees who, of course, who know philosophy and who have enough devotion in the heart. They could preach with strong words, and they could preach to people who are proud, especially proud people who want to mislead other people. But like you said, in Sankirtan, you do in different way. Eh? And this is very important point, which I feel, because when I became devotee, was one very nice devotee, which he really deserves. I mentioned his name, Lalit Govinda Prabhu. He knows him very well. He left already this planet, Kavalipati Prabhu. And his point was very simple. He said, you don't... when you talk with him, he was a preacher. He makes so many devotees in Slovenia, 65 devotees in the temple. I was one of them here at that time. And his main quality was compassion.
Yeah.
And that compassion came from Lord Chaitanya, from Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes I see in ISKCON, you know, some devotees mix these two things. Of course, we have to say what is right, what is wrong. It's very important because otherwise we pour water to the milk of philosophy. But sometimes devotees are not enough advanced to do that. They think we will smash this person, but at the same time, maybe this person is we don't see properly. This person really deviated philosophically and want to mislead other people, want to cheat other people. For these persons are strong words, but for people who are innocent, for people who are ready to change, who don't want to make some big philosophy out of something, for them is compassion. Because if we start to all the time criticize people, first of all we get karma from them. And if you are not enough strong in chanting Hare Krishna, this karma will affect us, and then we will be tested with same things, same anarthas. This is my humble experience. And of course you will comment on this. But Prabhupada could speak very strong because he was very, very deep. And he had amazing compassion. And this was his compassion to cut philosophical deviations. But unless we are very advanced, we should be careful. Because this criticism can be like boomerang back to us. And then we will be tested. That's my humble experience.
Yeah, of course, I mean, there's a difference in between strong presenting of the philosophy and strong words. You know, like this, if you to say to someone, you don't have to. Most of the times, you don't have to use strong words. You know, like. And you have, as you said very very clearly, of course, Srila Prabhupada was very compassionate, and he would use some strong words, but very rarely, actually. More, I mean, we like these events, but actually he was used that more rarely than we think, you know. If you ask His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj, that was his experience, that he rarely used this stuff. And he would criticize like these so-called spiritual leaders very strongly for the benefit of his devotees. He would not go to this to them and criticize them. He would criticize because these devotees were following them. You know, like yeah. So yeah, that's of course true. And it's not so much. We should criticize crazy philosophy. And we should correct people in a very gentle way, that we have to put this compassion. And we should never, you know, do this, like you meet someone on the street, if you want to, just if you feel like this boxer fighting, you know, like I want to smash his philosophy, then it's, just stop, just don't do it. But if you, sometimes you have these people who are more or less ready, you know, like, and you have to smash their misconceptions. You're not smashing them, you know, like, it's not, it's a service you're doing to them to get them rid of those misconceptions. And you don't have to, most of the times you don't have to use strong words and so on. You have to just, there's a difference, you know, like, between being firm, being clear, and using strong words. You know, like, you just, what, most of the time, is there's no need to use strong words. Yeah. For the recording.
This is very important, what I really feel to say. I was told this by Tathavit Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple. He told me one time, I said, what? Sometimes I want to say something, you know, and I feel, oh, it's so dangerous. Quickly we offend people, not only devotees, also other people we can offend if you are not careful. And he said it's about our intention.
Yeah.
It means if you really have that feeling, you want to, you say something, whatever you say to devotees or non-devotees, that you want, that in your heart is that you want to put people down and subtly rise yourself up like a ISKCON, like a movement, like a devotee, like that's wrong, yeah. We have to stay humble, and if his criticism is for the good of Krishna consciousness, will be very good. Will work, and people will understand, those who are smart. And in this way, this cutting will really affect these philosophical deviators. But when our intention in the heart is to put someone down and rise ourselves up, it's wrong. Because I saw in this movement, even, I will not mention names of devotees, but I was surprised. Some were really speak, for example, very bad about Gaudiya Math. This, that, Gaudiya Math, this. But then return like boomerang back to these devotees, and these devotees faced very big difficulties after this. So this is my humble experience, what I saw in this movement in these years, that our intentions is so important in everything what we do. Yeah. Then people will feel that. That we don't want to push people down, we want to stay humble, but at the same time protect the truth of Krishna consciousness.
That's true. Yep. Nothing to add. Hare Krishna.
Sorry.
No, but yeah, it's a good point. Thank you for that. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.